The Heath Mulligan Project started as a glimpse into the daily life of a family dealing with a terminal illness. Each of our lives is a gift from God, a project to work on and improve. Once you discover your purpose and your passion, the possibilities are endless. Are you ready to get started on your project?
What's going on, good people? Welcome to the Heath Mulligan Project. I am your host, Heath Mulligan. This is a podcast where I am trying to help you discover your purpose, your passion, your possibilities by sharing about my personal journey, my struggles. It's where we peel back the curtain of my life, and it's pretty interesting. So I love it when stuff like this happens. There was something that I'd actually recorded maybe a week and a half ago. Somehow got deleted, didn't save, nowhere to be found. That's okay. Because this morning, as I was shaving, I kind of had this, God moment. And it ties into what I had talked about the other day. So if you know anything about me, you know that, you know, I've been on a grief journey. And also on other podcasts, in this one, I've talked about, I'm writing a book on, that talks about the five stages of grief and five things, certain things you can do that go along with each stage of grief that can help you in doesn't help you get over that stage, but it's just a way of strengthening yourself and not just being completely tossed to and fro by the waves of grief. And it actually is an acronym, G-R-I-E-F. So very quickly, first stage of grief is denial. And so the thing you got to cling to during denial is God. That's that G. You got to deepen your faith in God. The second one is anger. Second stage is anger. And let's be very clear. These stages don't necessarily go in order. It's not a... Grief is not like something you can map out on a chart. But second stage is anger. So you got to find a release for that anger. You got to do something to release that anger. That's the R in grief. Next is bargaining, where you kind of in your head, God, if this happens, I'll do this. If this happens, I'll do this. And instead of bargaining, you set your intentions. You determine, I am going to do this no matter what. I am going to do this no matter what. Next is depression. How do you get through depression? What's something that help you through that? It's exercise. Maybe it's not just physical exercise. Maybe it's mental exercise. So that's the E in grief. And for the longest time, up until this morning, that the last stage of grief or whatever, the fifth stage is acceptance. It's where you don't move on from what happened, or you don't move on from the person you lost. You move on with. You move on with all the knowledge and everything that you gain. Move on with that. And so for the longest time, the F in grief was forward, that you're moving forward. And I'm going to be 100% honest. Ever since day one, I wasn't necessarily comfortable with forward. And this morning I'm shaving and it hits me. As I think back over the last 6 months where my mental health has drastically improved, as my internal quality of life has greatly improved. It goes back to forgiveness. And here's what I mean by that. At some point in your grief journey, you are going to have to forgive yourself for something. And it may not just be yourself. You may have to forgive someone else. So for me, part of my grief and what happened over the last several months is I finally talked about something in counseling that I had not talked about before. And in that process, started peeling back the onion. And started hearing some positive things from my counselor that just because A happened doesn't mean that B happened or B is going to happen. Just because something happened doesn't determine your fate. And what I had to do, I'm going to say, if somebody asked me, hey, Heath, what's made the biggest difference the last 6 months? It comes back to forgiveness. I literally went down a list and just started forgiving myself for stuff. A lot of people don't know this, what I'm about to share with you. I shared with a gentleman yesterday, a guy named Joey Turner. Shout out to Joey Turner, professor at Southern Wesleyan. Super good guy. Leads the Celebrate Recovery at Alive Wesleyan Church. And I was at a point in my life, September, October, I was hitting the panic button, literally and figuratively. Talked about this a little bit. I was in the season where it was about a 30-day panic attack. And I went to Celebrate Recovery, not really knowing, you know, what I needed to recover from. I'm just looking, man. I'm hey, God, I think you're at this place, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to listen to you. And as we were there, something that had been happening is I was so negative and down on myself. I would get in the car, and you want to talk about angry. And it was all at myself. And I was saying things to myself and about myself. And it was brutal. It was brutal. And I went to Celebrate Recovery that night. And it's like, all right, what? You know, they have this thing where you come up and get your coin. And it's like your day one coin. Now, I'm going to confess, I lost my coin. I wish I knew where it was. I have a place where I keep all that stuff in my room. It may still be in there. But I went forward to say, you know what? Starting today, I'm gonna stop with this negative self-talk. I'm gonna stop yelling at myself. I'm gonna stop saying unkind things to myself. And within a week or two, it's when I had this breakthrough session with my counselor. And it really goes back to started forgiving myself. And you might say, well, what were you forgiving yourself for, Heath? Let me tell you a crazy, ridiculous example. I had a good friend. When I say good friend, you know, somebody I grew up with, somebody I went to youth group with. We never went to the same high school. And her name was Heather Junkins, and Heather passed away the other day. And Heather, when we were in youth group, is when she first got Hodgkin's disease. And Heather had been, Heather was, you know, 15 or 16, whatever. She was a year older than me. And Heather had been kind of away from our youth ministry. And I remember we were having a car wash. And I was in charge, or I was not in charge. I was kind of the lead guy doing tires. I had my tire cleaner, and I'm cleaning the tires, blah, blah, blah. Well, Heather gets there. And I have not seen Heather in, I don't know, it's been a while since I've seen her. And, dude, I kind of had a crush on Heather. And I just start chasing Heather with the cleaner. And I'm just acting like a stupid 14-year-old boy. And in that process, in church parking lot, the church heart parking lot was like half paved, half gravel. And like Heather falls and like gets hurt. She skins her knee. Dude, that happened 33 years ago. And I would still have moments when that image, that memory would pop back in my brain. And I would say, you are so stupid, Heath. What were you thinking? You're such an idiot. She probably hasn't forgiven you for that. And I'm talking about stuff like that. That I had to say, you know what, Heath? You didn't mean to hurt Heather. You made a mistake. You weren't trying to really do anything wrong. You were just trying to have fun. You told her you were sorry. Pretty sure she's forgiven you. You asked God to forgive you. He's forgiven you. So why are you holding on to that? What's funny is just, I'm recording this on Saturday, January 21st. Just yesterday, Friday, the 20th, that image popped in my head. And like I said, Heather just passed away this week. She passed away this week. Monday, actually. And that image popped in my brain, and I just thought, you know what, Heather was a good woman. And I was very blessed to know her. And there was no negative feelings toward myself. There was no, I would say there wasn't even really any regret. I kind of closed that off. It's done. That business is taken care of. And when I explain to people what's happened to me, I've used the analogy that I feel like I've finally closed all the tabs on my computer. Or, you know, there's these moments when your computer starts using all this RAM and your fan kicks in. And then when everything finally calms down, the fan, it slows down. I feel like that's what's happened in my brain. And I feel like it's because because I have gone back forgiving myself, I've got closure. It doesn't mean that the grief is over. It doesn't mean that I'm not still affected by things, but it changes the dynamic of everything. Because now it's one less thing my brain's processing. Because I've forgiven myself of you know, whatever the situation is. I've forgiven myself, you know. Could I have been a better husband to Karen? Yes. Were there things I could have done better? Yes. Nothing I can do about it now. Did I ask Karen to forgive me? Did we say everything we need to say? Yes. Now it's all good memories. I remember the hard times, but it's all good memories. There's no like twinge of guilt because I've forgiven myself. I can't do anything about it. We hold ourselves hostage so many times for things we have no control over, for things we can't do anything about. And when part of forgiving yourself is learning. I know the things that I did wrong in my marriage. And if I ever get married again, I'm going to learn from those sins. I'm going to learn from those mistakes. But I've forgiven myself. And Karen forgave me. And God's forgiven me. The matter is done. And I'm not going to rehash it. I'm not going to dwell on it. I got closure on it. And when you take the time to go through your life and pull out the skeletons, and instead of trying to keep everybody out of that, keep everybody away from the skeletons of your closet, you start dealing with them. And you forgive yourself. You forgive others. And your brain. Your brain. Our brains need closure. Our brains need completion. And for me, this thing that I talked to my counselor about, it just opened up the floodgates of forgiveness. Because for the first time in my life, I had shared this with somebody. So my brain's like, oh, we don't have to protect or hide this anymore. And it was like I was free. It was like one thing I'm working on, you know, is I told somebody, you know, what God's done in my life and my mental health these last 6 months. If I could just help one person feel this or experience this, man, I just want to share it. And so, like, I'm thinking of, you know, what are some, you know, is it a diagram of a house or what, you know, what's a picture that I could draw to kind of, you know, illustrate, you know, kind of what's happened, you know, that, hey, you got this house, but you got this, there's this one room you got locked off. And so you spend all your time trying to keep people away from that one room. And so it doesn't matter if anybody's in your house or not. You're always thinking about guarding the door to that room. And your brain's like always running, even when you're asleep. Hey, we got to protect this room. We got to keep people away from it. We got to guard what's inside of it. Subconsciously and consciously, your brain is doing that. Our brain is doing so much subconsciously, it would blow our minds. And when you confess something, when you forgive yourself, your brain doesn't have to handle that anymore. And I don't know what that is in your life. I don't know what you need to forgive yourself for. But I'm telling you, you'll never find peace, love, and joy and freedom until you really forgive yourself. Sometimes there are really serious things we need to forgive ourselves of. And sometimes it's something silly. I don't know what it is for you, but my prayer for you is in the coming days that God would just speak to your heart, that you would just sense His love and His peace and His presence, and He would reveal to you all the things you need to forgive yourself for. The things that you think He's just waiting to throw a lightning bolt down at you. And it's stuff that He doesn't even think about anymore. Because He's forgiven you. And it's time to forgive yourself. It's time to close those tabs. It's time to turn off that what if faucet. That, well, what if I'd have done this? And what if I'd have done that? And what if I hadn't done this? What? You can't do nothing about it now. Have you learned from it? Do you know, all right, this is what I'd do differently next time? You got to move on. You got to shut that valve. I can't keep going back. Does me no good to go back. Man, what if, you know, what if Karen hadn't got sick? Or what if I did, you know, there was this one time, you know, we had a, you know, big argument. Well, what if I done, you know, all that. What ifs will take you, man, what ifs will steal you your joy today, and they'll steal your joy tomorrow, if you let them. What if you forgave yourself? What if you started letting your brain rest from stuff it really wasn't designed to do? There's a line in a song, Howie Loves. Such a beautiful line. I don't have time to maintain these regrets. But that's what we do. That's what our brains are working on all the time. Not me. Not anymore. I'm a free man. And it's absolutely exhilarating. It has been life-changing. It's been invigorating. It's been incredible. And I want that for you too. So if you're listening to this, find me on social media. Heath Mulliken. I'm easy to find. So easy to find. HeathMulliken@gmail.com. So easy. Shoot me a message. Leave a comment if you're listening to this on, found this on social media. Send me messages. I love to pray with you. Love to talk with you. Love to help with you. I love to help you. That's what I'm here for. That's what the whole point of this is. So, I pray you have a great weekend. Again, my goal, I got four podcasts. One I do with somebody else. The other three are kind of my babies. And the goal is an episode a week, 52 episodes each. Sorry. 52 times three. And I know I can do it because it's just takes time. It's just having conversations with people. It doesn't have to be a Hollywood level production. It's about letting people tell their stories. It's about doing something I love to do, and that's talking with people and hearing what they're passionate about. So, God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Heath Mulliken Project. Make sure to add, subscribe, and download the podcast, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also join the community by liking the Heath Mulliken Project Facebook page and joining the Facebook group for encouragement and insight.